deal with this kid on our own, we will. But then we won't be sharing anything that we gain. Arthur nodded. I understand. Have a good day, Morgan. Arthur took another sip of his tea and watched as Morgan left the room, heading for the front door. Morgan's two bodyguards getting up from where they had been sitting and following him. He was just about to get up himself when the server came over and set a salad down in front of him, and a second one in front of the chair Morgan had just vacated. I didn't order any food, Arthur said to the waiter who just shrugged and then walked away.
Oh, that's okay, Arthur. I did.
Looking up in surprise, Arthur saw Joseph Harrison, the gray-haired head of the local council of Eruditio, pull out the chair that Morgan had just vacated and sit down. Harrison smiled.
I missed lunch, and I really hate having these dreary talks over an empty stomach. So I ordered us both an early dinner. I hope you don't mind. I know you are particularly fond of the lamb here, so I ordered that.
Arthur blinked. How do you know I like the lamb here? Harrison smiled.
Because, Arthur, I own the place. You see, Harrison said with a conspiratorial wink, we learned a long time ago in our quest for knowledge that the best information isn't always written in our books.
Huh, Arthur said with a nod, conceding the point. And just why are you sharing this with me? He asked, and picking up his fork, he started in on his salad. Joseph may have gotten the better of him, but he saw no reason to let good food go to waste.
For almost 200 years now, Vestibulum has ruled the roost. What have those years brought us?
Not very much, Arthur admitted.
Exactly. Stagnation. When Sapientia was first formed and took control of things over 1,000 years ago, they cleaned up many of the problems and issues our ancestors faced. While not all of the solutions are good ones now, they were certainly good for their time.
So you mean to oppose Vestibulum in this? Harrison smiled.
Honestly, Arthur, both of us already are. You see an opportunity to return your council to the leadership role. I see an opportunity to end an injustice now, rather than waiting for it to blow up in all of our faces.
So you think the freeing of the Lycans is inevitable? Arthur asked, looking at Joseph curiously.
They outnumber us by, what now, Arthur? 6-1. And that number is growing. They have created their own rules, laws, and councils, though I understand they call theirs a fellowship because they really dislike the word council.
Harrison gave a little laugh.
Not that I blame them. But getting back to the point, they're civilized now. They're organized. And in a few more generations, they'll outnumber us 10-1. And what do you think will happen then?
Arthur sighed. Nothing good, I'm sure.
No, nothing good at all, Joseph said, shaking his head. That's why we set all of our Lycan servants free back when Bernard Valen started his crusade. We still employ Lycans, but that's exactly what we do, employ. They can come or go as they please. We pay them, take care of them if they wish. Why, we even have a 401k plan, Joseph added with a grin.
Arthur nodded slowly. So what's your pitch, then?
I think it would be best for all of us if Sapientia reconsidered its views and its rules on the keeping of Lycans as slaves, don't you? You are the heralds and keepers of all of our traditions. Great heed is paid by many to what you say and do.
Yes, but then we would risk appearing weak, Arthur sighed. We would be seen as doing it under threat from Sean.
Ah, but Mr. Valens hasn't approached you yet. I, on the other hand, have. Arthur considered that. Eruditio had been campaigning to change the way lichens were treated for several years now. Still, Arthur said, I'm not sure how my fellow council heads throughout the rest of the world would see it. And that's where I can help you, Joseph smiled. Hire an accountant, one preferably who knows about us, and investigate just what the costs of maintaining all of those slaves and servants are. I'll be more than happy to show you our books to compare it to. Arthur stopped eating and stared at Joseph.
You're telling me that it's cheaper to hire them than to keep them as slaves.
Joseph nodded, still smiling.
Several of our historians had discovered this to be true about most slave-owning operations in an era where labor is rather cheap. Part of our giving up our servants was to test this theory. We were all rather surprised.
Now that is an argument I can take to my peers, Arthur conceded, pointing at Joseph with his fork.
And you can follow that up with the argument that when Vestibulum loses their slaves, they'll become weakened, which will allow Sapientia the opportunity to regain its position.
Arthur nodded and set his salad fork down on his now empty plate. He could see the server approaching with the main course.
So, what's in it for Eruditio? Arthur asked.
First and foremost, survival, Joseph said, suddenly looking serious.
If we wait for a lichen uprising, even if Eruditio's members are spared, which I doubt many will be, we will all still be outed to the general public at large in the process. Secondly, we have always prided ourselves on our knowledge, wisdom, and ethics. We have come to realize of late that the keeping of slaves is not very ethical at all, nor is it very wise.
Arthur had to smile as he considered Joseph's words. Eruditio had always been small and never very interested in the kinds of games the others played. They had held on to their position all of these years solely because of the power that their knowledge gave them. Eruditio's wizards had a reputation for being very powerful when it came to a fight, and for being very patient about getting their revenge, even if it took decades. Part of why everyone was more than willing to grant them their neutrality.
I concede your points, and I will want to see your books.
Honestly, Arthur leaned back as the server cleared away the salad dishes and then set the main course in front of him.
Recent events have given me a lot of opportunity to reconsider my stand on certain things.
She's your favorite niece, isn't she?
Joseph asked congenially as he picked up his fork.
She's the only one that still sends me a birthday card every year, Arthur chuckled. But putting that aside, she has always had this knack for picking a winner, as well as winning herself,
Arthur added, thinking about how she dealt with her own magical problems. Then, of course, there have been other enlightening moments as well, such as this dinner. Joseph inclined his head in a small nod of acknowledgement.
Now, let's not spoil your chef's hard work with talk of such weighty issues. Agreed?
Joseph smiled and nodded.
Agreed.
Real-life realities. Sean sighed and leaned back in his chair. What the hell had just happened to his life? He now had 77 werewolves who lived in his building, and all of whom answered directly to him. Then there were Sheila and Peg, who were both werefoxes. Sheila definitely answered to him, for now. And Peg, well, he felt bad about it. But he'd all but bullied Peg into submission for now as well. That wouldn't last, of course. Peg was finally starting to come to terms with what had been done to her, and even had begun to accept it. Sean had no idea what he was going to do with her, seeing as she could practice magic like him, and was a lot better trained in its use. Unlike Jolene, whose magic was vastly different from his, Peg's magic was the same type and style. She'd been trained in the classical manner of using magic and casting spells for years, where he'd just sort of winged it from the beginning. She'd been avoiding him. He suspected she'd been avoiding everyone other than Sheila, who she really did seem to like. Sean hadn't been seeking her out either, considering how he'd just steamrolled over her requests to go back home. While he felt guilty about telling Sheila to bite Peg, he hadn't let that guilt stop him from taking responsibility for her. Now, if he just knew what to do with her. Not like he had any ideas about what he was going to do with the rest of them, either. But at least they were all here willingly. If his lion hadn't been such a brat in dealing with Michael, Sean could have turned them all over to him. But now the Western Pack no longer had a leader, and even though it had been 2 weeks, they still hadn't picked a new alpha.
"He needed to be replaced," Sean's lion said suddenly.
Sean had noticed his lion had been downright chatty of late. He really needed to talk to Roxy. "Why did he need to be replaced?" Sean grumbled. "I've got his second showing up here at almost every day now, asking for advice and telling me what's going on. I'm busy enough already."
"I'm sure a new alpha will rise up soon enough."
"That still doesn't tell me why he needed to be replaced."
"He wouldn't submit."
"Well..." Sean muttered under his breath. "Aren't we a prissy little king?" Sean got the feeling his lion just sighed and shook his head. Yeah, he'd been annoyed at Michael's stringent behavior at the warehouse, but if he'd known he was going to end up with so many headaches... Sean sighed and shook his own head. But damned if his lion wasn't right. He needed to start building up. He needed these people. He needed everything that came with being the leader of a movement. And the leader of what would probably become a revolution, albeit an undercover, out-of-sight, and very secret one. But still, who knew there'd be so much work involved? Oak was good with dealing with the other wolves and supervising them, because he knew them. But the paperwork? The bills? The legal stuff? Yeah, Sean wasn't having much fun dealing with any of that, especially all of the stuff involved with buying a building, starting a business, and doing a payroll. He'd need to find somebody who he could trust and who knew what the hell they were doing and push as much of it off as possible on them. Then there was the machine, as he had taken to thinking of it. He needed to design and build the machine that was going to help him churn out enchanted items, primarily the silver tags, as well as the lichen collars. Then, once those were done, maybe a few other important items as well. Everyone in the building had a collar now. Those weren't too hard to make, especially with the help of Jolene and the girls. Making a few each night was pretty much routine now. He was still sending them off to Sawyer as well, and his bank account was slowly recovering. This morning he had 20 grand in it. Apparently the price on them had crashed a bit faster than expected. Looking over the last bill he had to sign, Sean tossed it in the out box, and picking up a pencil, he pulled out his notes on the machine. He was going to start small. He had a bunch of simple copper discs with a hole punched into them and a lion etched on one side. He'd cast his scrying protection spell onto one, and then made a bunch of duplicates for each of the wolves living here to protect them from the simple mind spells as well. It had taken more energy to put the spell onto a copper round than it had to put it on the gold coins he'd previously used. Twice as much, in fact. So the bit about the more expensive the metal, the easier the spell, had been true. That had gotten him to wondering about changing the tags to gold and seeing how much that would lower the casting costs. But when he saw the current price of gold, that quickly put a stop to that idea.
"What you doing?"
Dalen asked, coming up behind him. "Working on my machine," Sean told her. "What are you doing up here? I thought you were working on the truck we bought for the shop."
"Oh, I finished that. Jolene and Roxy took a ride off to Sawyer's to check in. I thought I'd come up here and maybe distract you a little bit."
Dalen giggled. Sean sat up and turned to look at Dalen. She was wearing one of her work coveralls, and the zipper was all the way down, exposing all of that very lovely flesh underneath, as Dalen didn't ever wear anything under those coveralls. Dropping his pencil on the desk with a sigh, Sean slipped his hands inside her coveralls, enjoying the feeling of her bare flesh under his fingers.
"What was that sigh for?"
Dalen asked with a raised eyebrow.
"I don't think I've gotten the time to put 10 minutes of work into that damn machine all week," Sean grumbled as he pulled her closer.
"Oh, well, I could come back,"
Dalen teased and pulled back a little. Sean slid his arms further around her, and with a growl, he pulled her back towards him.
"A lion does not ignore his wives," he said, and kissed her on the neck. He knew she really liked that, and she stopped trying to pull away immediately.
"Lions, gotta love 'em,"
Dalen sighed happily, as one of Sean's hands slid down to cup her ass and give it a squeeze. Standing up, Sean picked her up and carried her over to the large bed against the wall. Laying her down on it, as he peeled her out of the coverall, he simply started to trail his kisses down to a rather impressive bust. She might be shorter than Jolene, but her chest had to be at least as big as Joe's. For all of her muscles and strength, Dalen was built. On the few occasions when they went out at night, Dalen easily got as many looks as his other two wives.
"Ooh, that feels good,"
Dalen sighed, as Sean teased a nipple with his teeth.
"For someone complaining about having their work interrupted, you sure seem pretty interested in fooling around."
"I'm always interested in fooling around with you, Day," Sean said, and switching to the other nipple, he bit it lightly, causing her to arch her back and sigh. "Now, let's get you out of the rest of this and see about getting down to business."
Sean chuckled and started to kiss his way down towards her belly button as he pulled the coverall down along her body. She raised her butt off the bed as he pulled it down past her rump. Then he just pushed it down past her knees with one hand as he kissed his way down to her sex. Dalen's hands immediately went to Sean's head, holding him in place. She didn't know why he was so enamored with oral sex. All that she knew was that she wasn't ever going to complain, considering how good he was at it. Sean loved the way she smelled, the way she felt on his lips, his tongue, his fingers, the scent of her, the taste, everything that was her. Grabbing her ass with his hands, he started off with little teasing kisses, taking his time, savoring the moment, letting her anticipate what was coming next. Then, moving closer, he started in with his tongue to savor the deeper flavors, and to show her just how much he loved her, wanted her, by driving her to complete distraction. Taking his time, Sean drove Dalen to two noisy and obviously enjoyable orgasms. As she started to wind down from the second one, he began to kiss his way back up her now sweaty and gasping body, pausing once again to pay homage to her heavily heaving chest. She let him do that for as long as she could stand. Then, reaching down, she grabbed that convenient handle that all men have and started to tug him towards her sex.
"Somebody wants something?" Sean laughed.
"Somebody wants her man, and she wants him now,"
Dalen all but growled back at him. Smiling, Sean allowed her to guide him deep into her heat, giving a sigh of pleasure as he entered his wife's body once more, enjoying the way she moaned beneath him.
"Life is good,"
Dalen moaned, grabbing his ass and sinking her fingernails into it.
"Sharing it with ones you love is even better,"
Sean whispered back, and putting her legs over his shoulders one at a time, he began to work himself deep inside her, moving in time with her efforts as they both began their climb up that very long hill of ecstasy.
"I love you, Day,"
he whispered in her ear, and was rewarded as she crossed her ankles behind his neck and pulled his lips to hers, as she tried even harder to pull him deeper. Sean lost all track of time as he worked his body against Dalen's, reveling in the feelings of her being wrapped around him, as he moved in and out of her heat. Listening to her moan and whimper in pleasure beneath him, as he panted and groaned above, driving harder and faster with each minute, pleasing her, loving her, until that moment when they were both there, shivering and crying out their pleasure and their joy as they held each other close.
"That was nice, my love,"
Dalen sighed contentedly. Does that mean you don't want round two? Sean teased, still panting. Silly lion, Dalen giggled and lightly swatted him on the head. I always want round two, and three, and four.
Sean nibbled on her earlobe and snickered as she squirmed under him.
Round two it is, he whispered, and letting her legs off of his shoulders, he rolled onto his side, pulling her with him, as he started to let his hands roam her body once more.
Lazy lion, Roxy said, coming into the room. Don't you ever get out of bed? Oh, he's been anything but lazy,
Dalen laughed, as Sean blew Roxy a raspberry from the bed where he was catching his breath.
Sawyer wants more necklaces, Jolene said, coming in and sitting down in one of the chairs, smiling at Sean.
I'm not getting any work done today, am I? Sean sighed.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Roxy laughed. Actually, Jolene continued, he wants you to start delivering them in bulk, like 100 a week instead of the dozen or so he's been getting. He said the price has bottomed out now at 8 grand, so we might as well start flooding the market with them.
So, as much as we want to play,
Roxy laughed and grabbing Sean's arm started to drag him off the bed.
You need to work.
But take a shower first,
Jolene grinned, getting a whiff of him.
Yeah, definitely a shower,
Roxy said while laughing.
Shower,
Sean agreed, rolling to his feet and stretching.
You can wait,
Roxy said, stopping Dalen.
Why?
Dalen asked, giving Roxy a look.
Because we all know how much our lion likes getting wet and slippery. You go in there with him, and it'll be at least another hour.
Aw,
Sean said, and then snickered as Jolene smacked him on the butt.
Go wash,
Jolene told him, pointing off towards the bathroom.
I guess you do have a point,
Dalen sighed, and sitting back down on the bed, she wrapped the blanket around her.
Just don't take too long,
she called after Sean's departing back.
6 hours later, Sean set down his pencil and looked at what he'd done. He had a basic outline of the spell's flows, what should pass from each one to the next, and which spells he would need.
He'd spent enough time over the last 2 weeks reviewing his father's notes, as well as the spell books he had on enchanting in his classroom. And making this thing was not going to be easy. He'd need about 100 magical batteries to act as a buffer for the energies that would be involved. He'd need a device to drop the item being enchanted onto the machine, then a second one to remove it. Those devices would eventually be mechanical and, he hoped, fairly simple. He'd talk that over with Dalen and let her or one of her friends build them. The hard part was going to be the silver. They'd have to introduce it at a fixed rate. He'd talked to Dalen about that already, and she'd come up with this rather ingenious idea of using silver wire being fed from a spool. Then they could speed it up or slow it down as required. Sean liked that idea. But the hardest part of all of this would be the spell that untarred his tar ball into the item being enchanted. Putting that spell into an item, along with all of the other required spells to make this work, would take months, 6 months, or 5 months, 2 weeks, 3 days, 6 hours, if his math was correct. Sean didn't really have that kind of time, so he'd come up with a different plan, and that was the one now in front of him. It would be made from a simple gold plate. The item to be enchanted would be attached to a wooden pole that someone would set on the plate. When he signaled it was done, they'd pull it off and replace it immediately with another one. That would take a team of people working with the items, of course. But that was something that could be done tomorrow, where a machine to load and remove items could take weeks to design and make. The plate would be linked to a set of magical batteries by the simple expedient design of being set on top a carefully placed pyramidal stack of them. And Sean would operate the hand crank on the spool of silver wire and monitor everything by keeping his hand on the plate. When the batteries were half full, he'd use the power in them to unpack the tar ball and channel the returned energy right back into the batteries. The tag with the silver spell would be attached to the plate rather than him, so the energy would channel through it instead of him.
I don't like it,
Roxy said when he explained the design to everyone. I'm not a big fan of it either, Sean sighed, looking around the table at everyone else. But I can make that plate in a couple weeks. It's just a power management program, really.
What about the batteries? Jolene asked.
I make the first one myself, Sean said. Then I use the machine to make the rest.
Isn't that dangerous?
Dalen asked. Sean shook his head. I'm keeping the batteries small enough that the first one will be able to handle the energy return for making the next one. That's why I need 100 of them.
I still don't like it,
Roxy grumbled.
If anything goes wrong, you could be fried again.
We don't have time for anything else, Sean told her. This is about as simple and as safe as I can make it. Yes, I'd rather build the more involved machine, because then I don't have to be there to operate it. Once we've made enough tags to keep the heat off here, I'll start on that one. But right now, we're living on borrowed time. Sooner or later, we'll be facing the big boys, and if we aren't ready to cut their Lycan armies out from under them, we're in serious trouble, Sean said with a slight growl.
How long will it take you to make a battery?
Dalen asked, cutting off any further argument from Roxy. Another couple of weeks, Sean grumbled. Batteries are easy to make, however it takes time to make them properly. Plus, I'm making a pretty large one. I could do everything with only 30 batteries, but I want a larger safety margin than that. Especially as we're going to be production lining this stuff. Once we have it down, I want to make several tags at a time.
Will that be safe?
Dalen asked, as Roxy just growled again. I won't know for sure until we've made a bunch of single items first, Sean said, looking over at Roxy. I'm not going to try multiples until I'm comfortable with making just one at a time. Roxy stopped growling, but she still didn't look all that happy.
When are you going to start making this device? Jolene asked.
As soon as I have a gold plate.
How big does it need to be?
Dalen asked. 10 inches in diameter, big enough to hold a collar. And it needs to be thick enough to not fall apart from being used.
How pure does it need to be?
18 carats should be enough.
So 8 ounces worth of pure gold.
Dalen did some quick mental math.
I'll need about 11 grand. I can have it for you tomorrow night. Sooner, if someone already has one, I can just buy off of them.
That's good, Shaw nodded. So when's dinner?
You ate it an hour ago,
Jolene said. Sean blinked. I did?
Where do you think that plate on your desk came from?
Sean looked over at where he'd been sitting. Sure enough, there was a plate there with a fork and a knife. Wow, I really wasn't paying attention, he chuckled, shaking his head. So, when do we have a snack?
Careful you don't get fat.
Oh, I don't think any of you will ever let me get fat, Sean grinned. Just then, Oak knocked on the door frame and stuck his head in.
Sean?
Now what?
Sean sighed.
Your friend Chad is here and wants to talk to you.
Sean blinked.
Chad's here?
Yeah, send him in. Sean stood up as Chad came into the room, limping slightly. Sean remembered that spring was always a bit rough on his knee.
Chad, what's up? Nothing's wrong, I hope.
Chad smiled and took the seat Sean waved him to.
I tried to call, but your phone wasn't answering.
Sean blushed.
Oh, yeah. I just found out the other day that there's enough silver in it that when the silver shield goes off, it gets fried. I still haven't replaced it.
Chad nodded.
I can see where that might be a problem. Anyway, the reason I'm here is, well,
Chad looked a little embarrassed.
I wanted to ask a favor.
Sean sat down.
Sure, anything. What do you need? Well, Chad sighed. It's about my knee. I talked to that healer you sent over and they said that because it's been healed this way for several years, there is really nothing that they can do.
Sean sighed and shook his head.
Sorry, I didn't know about that. Yes, well, I did some talking to some of your employees, however, and I learned that there is actually another way.
Oh? Sean looked up surprised.
What?
Bite me, Chad told him.
Bite you?
Chad nodded.
If the knee is removed after I become a shapeshifter, it will regenerate.
Sean looked at Roxy, who shrugged, and then at Oak, who was still standing in the doorway. Oak? He asked.
It would have to be done just before he was bit, Oak said, looking a little uncomfortable. The removing of the knee, that is. The first generation of your body after being bit sets your overall body image. Anything that's missing, well, as I understand it, it relies on your DNA more than what was originally there.
You sure about that?
Sean asked. Oak nodded.
Fairly sure. I called up Claudia, and she had me talk to some of the wise men and women of her Pax.
Sean turned to Chad. And are you sure about this? This isn't something you can undo, Chad. Once this is done, it's permanent.
Chad gave an embarrassed shrug and a slight smile.
Yeah, well, I've noticed that you've done okay with it. It really didn't change you all that much, honestly.
Sean stared at him.
I have three wives now. Plus I'm running a revolution, and you say it hasn't changed me?
Chad gave a small nod.
Not really, no. Oh, you're more self-confident now, a bit more aggressive about getting what you want. But you're really not acting all that different. You're just acting on the things you want to do, like you do during game night.
Is your knee that bad?
Roxy asked. Chad nodded.
Yeah, it is, and it's getting worse. My doctor wants me to go for more surgery.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, Chad nodded. So how about it, Sean?
You can't bite him, Sean's lion told him.
Why not?
He'll die. He's not meant to be a lion.
I can't bite you, Sean sighed.
What?
Why not?
Chad said, looking a little angry.
Because lions don't go around biting people, Sean told him.
You were bit?
I was already dying, so was Samson.
Sean shook his head.
I'm sorry, but I just can't do it.
Tell Oak to bite him.
What?
Have Oak bite him. I think he'd make a good wolf.
It's not like I'm asking for a lot here, Sean.
Actually, Sean sighed, you're asking for more than you realize. However, Sean looked over at Oak.
How do you feel about becoming a wolf?
What?
Chad said, looking a little shocked.
I'd be honored to bite him, Oak said with a smile. His plans for dealing with Gradatin were good ones. He'd make a good wolf.
Chad looked at Oak, and then looked back at Sean.
Well,
Chad looked a little embarrassed then.
That was actually my first choice, but they said they wouldn't do it without their alpha telling them to.
Sean nodded and stood up.
Well, let's go find a place to do this. What's wrong with here? Your knee, remember?
So?
I don't want blood all over the room.
Chad paled a little, but sighed.
I forgot about that. This is going to hurt, isn't it?
Oak nodded.
The knee?
Yeah.
The bite? Not so much.
Well, let's go down into that big shower room on the first floor,
Roxy said, getting up as well.
I think I'll stay here, Jolene said.
I think I will too,
Daylin agreed.
What?
Roxy said, looking at Daylin.
I know you're not bothered by the sight of blood. Only when it's coming out of my enemies,
Daylin grinned.
Chuckling, Sean led them all down to the first floor. There was a rather large shower room down there, two actually. Oak went off and came back with both Hunter and his mate Silver.
This is going to be a little messy, Oak told Sean. It's best if we're all in our hybrid forms, preferably naked. I asked the others to help out because Chad is going to have to be held really still.
How are you going to do this?
Chad asked, looking a little nervous.
It's better that you don't know, Oak told him.
Chad just nodded and everyone got ready. They ended up with Chad lying on the floor on his side, his bad leg bent and tied to a board. Sean was lying across him, pinning him to the floor and blocking his view, which was probably for the best because once they had everything ready, Hunter pulled out a large axe, and with no warning at all,
He chopped off Chad's knee, causing him to gasp loudly in sudden shock and pain. Oak bit him almost immediately after that, and Chad passed out.
"Damn,"
Roxy said, looking around as she slapped a large towel over Chad's leg.
"That was a lot messier than I thought it would be."
"Humans bleed more than we do," Silver said.
"He didn't scream,"
Hunter noted, going over to one of the shower heads and turning it on, started to wash off the axe, as well as himself.
"Yeah," Silver agreed. "And he knew it was coming, too."
"Well, let's clean him up and bring him upstairs," Oak said. "We can start teaching him in the morning." "Are we going to need a room for him?" Hunter asked.
Sean shook his head.
"No. Once he's recovered and knows the basics, he can go back home. I'll talk to Ryan about finding someone to introduce him to the others in the Western Pack."
"We're not keeping him?"
Oak asked, looking surprised. Sean snorted.
"Ryan keeps whining at me that they need a new alpha."
Sean motioned to Chad's unconscious body. Hunter shook his head.
"I don't think someone who's been bitten, especially someone who's just been bitten, is going to become an alpha. At least not anytime soon."
"You're looking at the middleweight, light heavyweight, heavyweight, and super heavyweight judo champion for the state of Nevada. 5 years running in his own age group, and the three above it, until he got shot in the knee."
Hunter looked surprised.
"He was competing above his class?"
"Yup."
"Why?"
"Because he likes winning."
Hunter looked at Silver, who nodded, and then at Oak, who first shrugged and then with a grin, nodded as well.
"I think our leader has a point."
Waking up, Sean got up onto all fours and stretched. Yawning widely, he shook his massive head, feeling his heavy mane shaking out as he did so. Looking around, he realized he was outside.
"What the hell?"
he mumbled, looking around. He didn't recognize any of the area. Even the trees and plants looked different. He was in the middle of a fairly large and very green clearing in a forest. There were other lions lying around, mostly lionesses. And there was a carcass of some kind of animal that he didn't recognize. Maybe because there wasn't all that much left. But he definitely wasn't in Nevada. It was too green, too moist, and way too many trees. The sky was gray with a lot of clouds, and he couldn't see or hear a single sign of civilization.
"Where the hell am I?"
he asked, looking over at the other lions, some of whom were now looking in his direction.
"Don't worry. It's just a dream,"
another lion walking up to him said. Sean recognized him immediately in the way that dreams worked.
"You're my lion,"
Sean said, and looking at him, he patted around the other lion.
"Wow, I'm pretty damn big."
Sean stopped then and looked around.
"Where are we anyway?"
"This is where it all began,"
his lion said to him.
"Where what all began?"
"Us, me, what you are now."
"Lions?"
Sean asked, looking around confused. It looked just like a typical pride scene that he'd seen on a nature show 100 times. Well, except that this wasn't Africa.
"Where lions?"
his other half corrected him.
"All of the lions in this pride are lycanthropes, or shapeshifters if you prefer. Though we only have one other shape, and that is the shape of a man."
"Where are we?"
Sean asked, sitting down and looking around some more.
"Someplace in Central Europe. The more apropos question is, when are we?"
Sean sighed.
"It's bad enough I act that way towards other people, but do I have to act that way towards myself as well?"
"Apparently."
His lion self chuckled.
"Okay, when are we?"
The other lion shrugged.
"Beats me. We didn't have calendars. Best guess is about 100,000 years ago.
100?
Sean stopped looking around and looked at his other self, his lion.
"How do I even know this?"
"Think of it as a racial memory. All were-lions have it. We all know it.
So, where are the other were-races? Are they around here too?
His lion shook his head, his mane fluffing out a little with the motion. There aren't any others.
What?
We were the first. We are the first. This is where it all started, right here, in this clearing with this pride.
Then where did the others come from?
They caught it from us, obviously.
Where did we get it from?
His lion shrugged. We don't know. This is our earliest memory, this clearing and waking up in it after a successful hunt the night before.
Is this why the others hold us to be special? Because we were first?
That's part of it, though they don't really remember it, beyond some of the myths and legends that they pass down.
But we remember it, his lion nodded.
Just so.
So, does this mean I'm now going to learn how to do all that mystical shit that lions are supposed to be able to do? Sean asked a little excitedly. His lion laughed.
No.
Ah, Sean sighed. Then why are we here? He asked, waving around at everything with a paw.
That is a good question, isn't it?
Sean groaned. I hate riddles.
It's not a riddle. It's something for you to think about. You're a lion now, Sean. There are things you need to learn about just what that means.
Does this have to do with why I couldn't bite Chad?
A little. Go back to sleep. We'll talk again.
Much to do. Sean groaned and opened his eyes. At least the ceiling looked the same as it had yesterday. Roxy, Jolene, and Dalen were sprawled across the bed, sound asleep. A small pile of collars lay on the floor from where he'd been tossing them last night as he had made them. He'd complain about all the enchanting they'd been doing lately, but he didn't feel like being a hypocrite. Getting up, he grabbed his pants and stumbled off to the bathroom to relieve his protesting bladder. After that, he headed downstairs to the main dining room to get some breakfast. It wasn't until the third wolf whistle from one of the female werewolves that he realized that his pants were still in his hand, not on his body. It took him a full minute to realize that the reason he couldn't get them on was because he was in hybrid form and his pants were human-sized. Growling, he shifted and put them on, noticing at that point that the pants' legs were both now rather well shredded from his foot claws. Sean still didn't do mornings well. Grumbling, he went into the dining room, and seeing Alex there, surprisingly, he went over and sat down next to him at the table.
Dude, what happened to your pants? Alex said.
And looking at Sean's shirtless body, added,
And wow, you've gotten ripped.
I tried to put them on while I still had claws, Sean said and yawned, then looked around for someone serving breakfast. He'd gotten way too used to one of the girls always bringing him his food. Apparently Roxy had been sharing her knowledge of lions. Not that Sean would ever complain about that, of course.
Could somebody bring me some food, please?
Sean grumbled, and then looked over at Alex.
What are you doing here so early? I thought the shop didn't open until 9:30.
Looking over at Alex, Sean noticed Demon was sitting on the other side of him.
Morning, Demon.
Sean said with a nod and yawned again.
Morning, boss,
Demon said with a smile, and Sean noticed that Alex was suddenly looking a little red in the face. He was about to ask Alex what was up when two of the female werewolves, Shia and Chloe, suddenly set several plates full of food in front of him, along with a couple glasses of water.
Ah, food,
Sean smiled and looked up at them. Thanks, Shia, Chloe. The girls both smiled and then quickly went back to work.
You're going to eat all that?
Alex asked, a little surprised.
Part of being a lion, Sean said,
starting in on his breakfast with a will.
With three wives, Demon added with a wink, all that activity definitely causes an appetite, right?
Sean glanced over at Demon, who was also going through a large plate of food, and snorted.
Yeah, right.
What's your excuse?
Alex coughed a little then, still looking a little red.
So, how's the shop working out?
Sean asked, more to get someone else talking so he could concentrate on eating his breakfast. It wasn't just the sex. All that magic from the enchanting every night really took it out of him.
Oh, yeah, the shop, Alex said happily. The shop is going really well. Steve's been putting out the word on us, and because they're already used to seeing me around doing the detailing work at his shop, I think we're going to be signing up a couple of the local used car dealers for our service. I'm going to start training a crew for that truck you bought as well, and,
Sean barely paid half a mind to Alex talking about the business, nodding whenever it seemed appropriate. Apparently, Alex was getting on well with the werewolves, which took a huge weight off of Sean's mind. He knew that they were all about the pack and your position in it. He'd been worried that as an outsider, Alex would be having a difficult time with teaching and leading them.
I'm just glad they're listening to you and following your instructions so well.
Sean smiled as he finished up his food and started looking around for someone to bring him some more.
Oh, well, demons helped a lot with that, Alex said, and then looked a little embarrassed for some reason.
Thanks, demon, Sean said, looking back over at the wolf for a moment.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Trust me, demon chuckled.
Oh, look at the time, Alex said, standing up. We really need to check on the shop before we open.
But I'm still eating, Demon said, motioning towards his plate.
Now,
Alex said, lowering his voice. Sean was impressed. Demon just sighed and, rolling his eyes, he got up and followed Alex from the room.
Alex really has him towing the line,
Sean said to Shia, as she put another plate of food as well as another glass of water in front of him.
Oh, you could say that,
Shia laughed. Sean blinked, looked in the direction where Alex and Demon had left the room, and then back at Shia.
I'm missing something, ain't I? Oh, from what I hear from your wives, you're not missing anything.
Shia laughed again and walked off, leaving Sean wondering just what was going on.
Whatever it is, no one's bitching at me, so it can wait,
he muttered, and went back to eating his breakfast.
Sean.
Sean sighed and looked up. Sheila was standing there, wringing her hands and looking worried.
What?
He said, trying not to show anything but a pleasant face. Sheila, he'd learned, was completely submissive when it came to him. With other men, she was something of a temptress, and in the bedroom he'd discovered that she was completely wild, due to all of the training she'd received back in the kennel she'd been raised in back in England, that apparently specialized in that kind of thing. But when Sean was around, she became completely submissive to him. He wondered if it had something to do with the way the English seemed to venerate lions. They were in their heraldry pretty much everywhere. Yes, Sheila? He prompted her again, as she stood there looking guilty.
It's Peggy. She's having problems. Again.
Now what? Sean growled and locked his laptop. He'd been working on the websites, something he'd put off way too long. The GoFundMe page needed updates and examples of the work. The stickers had to be uploaded. His own Facebook page needed updating with more stories about this epic quest he was playing. Sean really needed to hire somebody else to do it.
She's just sitting on the bed in our room, and she won't move.
So?
She's been like that since yesterday,
Sheila said, pulling at her fingers and looking at her feet.
And?
And, well, you both have a lot in common, and I was hoping that maybe...
Sheila looked up at him, and he couldn't miss the pleading look in her eyes. Sighing again, Sean stood up.
Fine, I'll go talk with her.
Thank you, Sean,
Sheila said, and gave a little curtsy. Smiling, Sean ruffled her hair as he walked by her. Sheila's and Peg's room was on the top floor, along with his and the girls. The second floor was pretty much wolf territory, the ground floor being mostly open space, except for the detailing shop that took up about a quarter of it. He'd have to see about putting another business down there soon. Maybe Steve would have some more ideas. Walking into the room, sure enough, Peg was sitting on the bed,
her knees drawn up and her arms wrapped around them. "What's wrong?" Sean asked, dropping down to sit next to her on the bed.
"I don't want to talk about it,"
Peg grumbled.
"Yeah, well, I don't either, but Sheila is going to be really sad if I don't."
"Sheila,"
Peg sighed and looked up at him guiltily.
"Nice to know I'm not the only one she has that effect on," Sean chuckled.
"You should see her with the wolves. She's got half of them wrapped around her little finger. The things she does with them."
"Jealous?" Sean asked. He knew that Sheila had found her way into more than a few beds on the second floor. Considering what she'd been raised for, Sean hadn't been all that surprised by it. Not that the unmated female wolves were being at all chaste in their behavior either. Roxy had told him some time ago that lichens had a much more relaxed and open attitude toward sex.
"Hardly. I could show those wolves a thing or two."
"Then what's the problem?"
"You wouldn't understand,"
Peg said, dropping her head back down onto her knees. Sean sighed.
"Try me."
"Why? No one else does."
"Because we have two things in common," Sean grumbled. "We're both magic users, and we were both bit."
"She wants me to do things."
"Who, Sheila?"
"No, my beast, my animal. She wants me to do things."
"Oh?" Sean raised an eyebrow. "What?"
"She wants me to go downstairs and play with those animals."
Peg gasped and put her arms over her head.
"They're not animals, Peg,"
Sean sighed, rolling his eyes. He thought children were supposed to rebel against the teachings of their parents. "They're people."
"They're animals. They just look human. They can turn into beasts, and they even act like animals when they're human."
"You're an animal then as well," Sean pointed out. "You're one of them now."
"No, I'm not."
"Okay, you're a fox."
"Not if I don't change, I'm not. I don't want to go down there. I don't want to sleep with them."
"Why?"
Sean leaned in really close and whispered in her ear.
"Afraid you might like it."
"Ah!"
Peg said and glared at him. And damn if she didn't cast a spell at him.
"You're just like she is."
"Did you just cast a spell at me?"
Sean growled as he shifted to his full lion form and pinned her flat to the bed with a very large paw. Peg's eyes got wide and he could actually smell her fear.
"You will shift now," Sean growled, "or I'm going to hurt you. Very, very much."
I...
"Your problem is you refuse to accept that which you are," Sean growled. "I bet you didn't have any problems sleeping with the wolf boys before you became one of us, did you?"
I never,
Peg gasped.
"Oh?" Sean growled.
"Well, maybe just once,"
Peg said in a small voice while refusing to look at him.
"Shift now, or else."
Suddenly there was a fox under his paw. Taking his paw off of her, Sean sat back down.
"Damn, she's such an uptight bitch,"
the vixen grumbled, taking the time to start grooming her fur.
"She's been through a lot,"
Sean sighed.
"Oh, like I haven't been?"
the vixen said, looking up at him.
"She hasn't let me out in almost a week."
"That long?"
Sean shook his massive head. That couldn't be healthy.
"Don't let her back out until tomorrow."
"I wasn't planning on it,"
the vixen laughed.
"Oh, you should hear her. She's really quite mad at the both of us now."
"I thought she was over all of this," Sean grumbled.
He had enough problems without trying to play psychologist.
"She called her sister yesterday."
Sean facepawed.
"I take it that it didn't go well."
"No, her sister disowned her. Called her a filthy animal, and told her to never call her again."
"Gee, what a nice family," Sean growled. "Her father was whipping both of them to death, to save his own skin, and her older sister turns on her just like that? Almost tempted to go bite her myself."
"Only almost?"
the vixen laughed.
I wouldn't want a bitch like that in the family. You are nice enough, at least, once you get over yourself.
You mean once I get over her?
We're all one person. You know that.
Sure we are.
Peg, the vixen, winked. Sean sighed.
Don't make me feel sorry for her. I do understand what she's going through. Now go play with the wolves or something.
Sure you wouldn't like to stick around and play with me yourself?
Vixen Peg teased, as she suddenly rubbed down along his side. Sean snorted.
I think that right now your other half could stand to be around people who understand loyalty and don't sell each other out over stupid shit.
What a wonderful idea,
Peg the vixen said.
She hates it, doesn't she?
And that's what makes it so wonderful. I'll talk to you later, big boy.
Sean just sighed and went back up to his office.
Sean.
What?
Sean sighed and looked up. Roxy was standing there with her cell phone.
Your lawyer needs to talk to you.
He held his hand out for the phone.
He's not on this line. He's downstairs having his car detailed.
Sean sighed and, getting up, he went down to the shop.
Nice place you got here,
Anthony, Sean's lawyer said, looking around.
Well, I can't afford to have all these wolves sitting around on their butts all day, Sean grinned.
Also, it's a great cover for people to come over here and meet you, or bring you stuff,
Anthony agreed. People get their cars detailed in Reno all the time.
So, what brings you by?
Sean asked.
We found your mother's car, or rather, Samson's.
What? Where was it?
Sean asked, excited.
Sacramento International Airport. I had a friend towed out of the lot so we could examine the parking ticket, to get an idea of when she left it there.
And?
It was parked there early Saturday morning, March 10th, the day after you were attacked.
Any idea where she went after that?
Anthony shook his head.
It's a pretty big airport with flights everywhere. There's no telling at all.
Sean sighed.
Arrange with Steve to have it brought back here. He can store it in his shop with the motorcycle for now.
Well, at least you know she got away, Anthony said.
Oh, Sean blushed. She left a message on my cell phone.
He paused to think a moment.
How many weeks ago was that now? About a month ago. Sorry I didn't tell you, but I haven't heard from her since, nor have I been able to call her back.
Anthony nodded and smiled.
Well, I'm happy to hear she's okay, and don't worry about it. I'm your lawyer, not your family.
Is there anything else I need to know about?
Detective Schumer still wants to have a word with you, but nothing urgent. The investigation into what happened at your mother's home and Samson's home is still ongoing, but at this point, arson has been ruled out.
Sean blinked.
How the hell did they rule that out?
Both homes had bottled gas. They're claiming now that coyotes or something chewed on the lines, which led to a gas leak. The first was sparked off by the thermostat in your mother's trailer, and Samson's was then set off by your mother's blowing up.
Wow, that's pretty hard to believe.
Sean shook his head.
People are falling for that?
Apparently. I expect the insurance companies will settle up by the end of May.
What about the fire in the house I was living in?
Oh, that was a power surge due to the freak electrical storm we had.
Anthony smiled.
Seeing as there was a witness to the cause of the fire and the investigation backs him up, there's nothing to connect you to it at all. Sheer coincidence.
Do they always wrap these things up so nicely?
Anthony shrugged.
You have to remember that not a lot of people know what you know. Yes, someone sent a wolf to chew through the gas lines. Then they probably used magic to spark it off. Magic doesn't leave much in the way of forensic evidence for modern methods.
Sean nodded. It made sense.
Well, thanks for letting me know about the car.
Sure. Not a problem.
I needed to get my car cleaned anyway. Is there anything I can do for you? Only if you know of someone I can turn all of my paperwork over to. along with the website work I have to do. Sean sighed. Who knew that running a small business would require so much paperwork? Anthony nodded.
I'll ask around. I might know somebody.